This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, can I just take a second here? Can I just say something we're already thinking? Being a late night talk show host is an incredibly powerful position. I mentioned Oreos, they send me Oreos. By the way, Oreos, we're out of Oreos. The famous, the powerful, they come to me right there. I am a beacon of influence and control, but even this awesome power pales in comparison to the sway held by history's most famous dictators, Genghis Khan, Kim Jong-il, Jay-Z.
We await your orders, Lord Z.
These brutal despots all have only two things in common. One, they demand complete obedience, and two, they all wear a big furry hat.
Very good.
Now that this hat is upon mine head, I am endowed with unquestionable power due to my hat's two main attributes, its bigness and its furriness. Any proclamations I make while wearing this hat are now and forever law. Let us begin.
Not so fast, Colbert.
Please, how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? He who wears the big furry hat must be obeyed.
I totally agree. From now on, wide furry hats shall be ignored. The people shall obey only tall furry hats.
That is hat blasphemy. It is hats for me.
That's not a word.
My hat says it is. It is now. I don't know where to look. It is now. It is now law that people in tall furry hats shall be locked away in a high-ceiling but very narrow cell.
Silence! Let our hats do the talking.
Begin.
From this day forth, people shall not say God bless you to someone after they have sneezed. Instead, they must shout, Hail Sneezer!
Let it be written that if a Starbucks barista gets your name wrong, your coffee is free. And whatever they wrote upon your cup is now their name.
From now on, all elevator doors shall be sharpened so that if someone runs up and sticks in their arm to stop the door from closing, the door shall continue to close and you get to keep their arm.
Dr. Dre and Daniel Day-Lewis will be combined into one person, Dr. Daniel Dre-Lewis.
If you are talking about buffalo and someone says, I think you mean bison, that person shall be hunted to the brink of extinction.
If the highway is too crowded, Kenny Loggins must provide an alternative route to the danger zone.
All clowns are now banished. Should we have a clown emergency, we will simply force mimes to shout.
If a bird poops on you, it is no longer good luck. But if you can poop on a bird, that is very impressive.
Food brands will stop anthropomorphizing their products as attractive females. No one can enjoy an M&M if they are sexually aroused by it.
Any rock band that has a ukulele is not a rock band. It is an insurance commercial.
From now on, American football will be known as Big Leather Egg Fight.
Henceforth, Casual Friday is whichever day I don't wear pants to work.
Henceforth, the plural of mouse is mouses. But the plural of house is now heist.
Mr. Cleese, it would appear our hats are equally powerful.
Yes, we are at a stalemate. Do you want to come back to my place?
I thought you'd never ask. The hat has spoken! We'll be right back!
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Guest is a comedy legend. Please welcome the mythical John Cleese. Mr. Cleese, thank you so much for being here. Pleasure. Now, a lot of people in the building pretty excited you're here. Obviously, a lot of people in the audience excited you're here. You were one of the co-founders of the great Monty Python. Obviously, you created one of the greatest sitcoms of all time, Fawlty Towers, one of the funniest movies of all time, A Fish Called Wanda, and your book, So Anyway, is now available in paperback. You are a hero to so many people, so many comedians.
I was just going to say, but I haven't had so much fun for a long time as I had doing the hat.
Really? Oh, my God, that's a thrill. That's a thrill. I want to say that I mean this is the greatest compliment. You look like an idiot up there. Do you enjoy, because you're a smart guy, do you enjoy being stupid?
Oh, yeah, I love being stupid. When we were writing Python, that was the word we always used, silly.
Yeah.
We loved it when it was silly, sometimes when it was naughty, but when it was silly. And it was almost best when it meant nothing, you know?
Yeah, that's
you
nice.
Know the fish slapping dance?
Oh, the fish slapping dance. We had, because it's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I heard. They told me. And it's hilarious.
Let's show the people what we're talking about. This is the fish slapping dance. You and Michael Palin, right?
You've got it.
Yeah,
let's hit it. Oh, wonderful.
Meaningless. completely meaningless.
Absolutely meaningless, and it's hilarious. And when they did we were asked to do a compilation program each. Yeah. We all chose completely different stuff, yes. Except for the fish slapping Johns. All five of us chose that.
Was there like a Python for you? Like the person like, you like memorized what they did and you wanted to be them when you grew up?
There were several, but you see, I grew up in American comedy.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Really. BBC used to show George Burns, Jack Benny, Joan Davis, Phil Silvers.
Phil Silvers. Nobody talks about Phil Silvers anymore. The great Phil Silvers.
Wonderful. Incredible. He's absolutely wonderful. Amos and Andy, which we don't mention.
We don't do that anymore. You know? No, we don't.
Lucille Ball. I grew up on that. And then in the late 50s, I'm sorry. I'm old. The late 50s, we used to stay abreast of the most exciting comedy, which was coming out of America with Mike Nichols, Elaine May.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mort Sahl, and Shelley Berman, Bob Newhart.
But you guys never did really political stuff. You made fun of political figures for their sort of having a stick up their butt, but you didn't really do political
material. No, we never did that, and that was because when in 1962, David Frost did a satire show, and for the first time ever, we were making fun of the Queen and the Prime Minister and people like this had never been done before. If you did an impersonation of the Prime Minister in 1955, they would have said it was disrespectful. And then suddenly in 62, Peter Cook, Dudley Moore, Jonathan Miller and Alan Bennett did this stage show called Beyond the Fringe. And I've never heard laughter like it, Steve. Alan Bennett did a parody of a Church of England sermon. And people weren't laughing, they were screaming, and they were screams of liberation because we'd heard that cloth-eared crap every Sunday of our lives, and suddenly somebody was making fun of it.
I think one of the greatest lines in any Monty Python thing of all time is Michael Palin when he says, "Oh Lord, you are so very big."
Well, that was based on the kind of stuff that we were given as religion.
Did you get stopped? What did the BBC think they were getting when they got you guys?
They had no idea. You won't believe this. I'll tell you an extraordinary story. It's not that funny, but it's absolutely true. I was writing with Graham for Peter Sellers. Yeah. Every Thursday, we used to watch this kids' program. It was coming at 5 o'clock. It was the funniest thing on English television. It was Palin, Jones, Idle, and Terry Gilliam. And one day we rang him up.
Really, for children, a children's show.
It was a children's show, 5 o'clock. And we rang him up one day because we knew them. We'd worked together before and said, why don't we do a show together? And they said, yeah, why not? And we got someone to fix up a meeting with the top guy in BBC television, who was the great god of British television comedy. And we went in and met him, Michael Mills, and shook him by the hand. He said, well, I gather you guys want to do a series. And we said, well, we'd love to. And he said, well, what are you proposing doing? And being Python, we hadn't discussed it. Seriously. So we said, well, we want to do humorous material with jokes and of a comedic nature. And he said, well, you going to have guest stars? We said, are we? Are we going to have guest stars? What about music? We said, we might just even, are you going to use film? And I thought, this is professional suicide.
And you had faith in your own pitch?
No. Well, it wasn't a pitch. It was a non-pitch. It was an un-pitch. It was an ex-pitch. But Michael looked at us, shrugged, and said, go away and make 13 episodes.
That's when the BBC had some cash to burn.
Yes, but they also trusted their gut in the old days. You know what I mean, Stephen? He had no idea what we were going to do. We had no idea what we were doing.
You were 6 feet tall when you were 12, right?
That's
something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Did being a circus freak help? Did that help as a performer, well, being a comedian or anything?
I think I was a very awkward kid. My parents had moved 13 or 14 times in my first 13 or 14 years, so I hadn't had a chance to make real friends with anyone because then we were off again, you know? So when I went to school, I didn't mix in very well. I didn't really know how to be a schoolboy. And I got teased a lot. And the embarrassing thing about being teased and bullied is that if it's done by people half your size, it's really humiliating. But at that time, I began to get them to laugh. When they laughed, well, you know this, the people have affection for you.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter how horrible you are. I mean, Basil Fawlty is a truly ghastly human being.
Yeah.
But he makes people laugh, and so they feel affection.
Well, he's sad. He's a very sad character.
He's sad, yes, that's right. He can't deal with depression at all.
No.
He said, remember when Manuel was sad once? He said, we didn't win the war by getting depressed, you know.
Are you writing anything right now? Are you doing anything?
Well, I'm going to go down off to the West Indies the day after tomorrow.
That's nice.
I have 8 exercise books and 100 pencils, and I don't know what I'm going to write.
Wow.
But I'm thinking of writing a show called Why There Is No Hope.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it.
Because there is. You see, people have not grasped this yet.
Mm-hmm.
There is no hope.
I disagree.
Do you?
Yes, because you have just given me hope that there will be another Joan Cleese book. And please come back when you've written it.
I loved it.
Joan, thank you so much. It was such an honor to have you.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hi, I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Dr. Naomi Bernstein.
And we want to tell you about Calm the F*** Down, a guided meditation series from the Oversharing podcast. This is something we've been planning for a long time. It's our most requested segment from the podcast. And these meditations are going to be between 5 and 10 minutes. They're going to be super quick because we don't have a lot of time. You're going to be so surprised how 5 to 10 minutes of really thoughtful meditations can transform your whole life. In addition to the first 4 meditations available at launch, we'll be doing 2 new meditations every single month. Plus, for the fans of Oversharing Podcast out there, you'll also get ad-free versions of every episode of the Oversharing Podcast.
So if somebody wants to become a subscriber, how do they join?
It's so easy. You just go to subscribe.betches.com and sign up now for only $4.99 a month. Or you can lock in our discounted rate if you sign up for the whole year. That's subscribe.betches.com. Or if you're in the Apple Podcasts app, you can just hit the subscribe button now and sign up in the app. It's as easy as that.